The name of the song is Ancient Words. And whenever I read heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, it strengthens my faith in the Word of God. And we all need that, don't we? That's the power of God and salvation, and we need to have strong faith in it. Among the hymn books published by members of the Lord's Church for use in churches of Christ, I've seen this song in a few song books besides this one. The song emphasizes both the divine origin and the spiritual benefits of the Word of God. Very much is said about the Word of God in the Scriptures. Psalm 119, for example, is just a continuous appreciation of the Word of God. The message of this song teaches us the importance of God's Word. So for a few minutes tonight, let's think about it a little bit. Of course, the relationship of our salvation to God's Word is vital to us, very important. Faith comes to us by God's Word. It's how we learn the plan of salvation. In Psalm 119, 105, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's true with every one of us. It shows us how to live. Teaches us even how to think. So we know how to live, we know how to talk, we know how to think in a manner that could be characterized as led by light as opposed to led by darkness. And so that's a great blessing for us. Certainly, we appreciate the passages that Paul wrote to young Timothy, reminding him about the value of Scripture, that all Scripture inspired by God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, he reminded young Timothy that from a youth, from his childhood, you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's what we've been suggesting to you thus far. John 12, verse 48, we might remember that Jesus said that his sayings don't need to be rejected by people, because he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings as one that judges him, the word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. That's a key passage that we need to share with people. Why do you people always quote the Bible? Why are you always talking about the Bible? Well, there's the reason right there. It's the final exam. It's what we will all be judged by. And people who ask us those type of questions, you know, they need to understand. They will be judged by what is written too. Best to know what is written now than to be surprised by it at a later time. This particular song calls these words that we're talking about from the Holy Scripture, calls them words of our faith. In the second stanza, holy words of our faith handed down to this age came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. That's a beautiful sentiment, isn't it? For one who loves and appreciates the Word of God. They're holy words of our faith because they come from God, and they provide the avenue whereby we may please God. Romans 10, 17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. They're handed down to this age because they are the faith that was delivered to the saints. Jude 3, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, the salvation we commonly share is the idea, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing to you, in a sense, encouraging you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. We have access to the precious faith that will save our souls. We must make sure that it's not corrupted, not perverted, but that we live by it because it has the power to save our souls. So we need to heed them by doing what the words tell us to do, In John 13, well, there's you three. John 13, verse 17, you know, Jesus told his disciples, and these are his words, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And there was that same message throughout his whole teaching ministry on this earth and through the ministry, his ministry that extended through the apostles. You're blessed if you conform to the words of God. They are powerful. And so we need to appreciate them, live them, and sing about them when we praise God and worship. He calls them holy words, long preserved. In the first stanza, holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. These ancient words have been around for a long time, haven't they? They're holy words. They're holy because holy men spoke these words. Holy men recorded these words. They were inspired. They were given these words. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. You know, there it is, bright and shining for us to appreciate. This is not some old book written by groups of men over a long period of time, and that's all that it is, just the best thoughts of men. Oh, no. The Holy Spirit spoke from God. He searched the mind of God, as Paul writes to the Corinthians and reminds them. The Holy Spirit searched the mind of God, and He took those thoughts from God and put them into words, spiritual words that are laid down in the pages of Holy Scripture for us to read and understand and appreciate. Holy Spirit spoke from God. They were given for our walk in this world, to show us how to walk, to direct our path, to keep us from getting off the path that we need to be on. To keep us away from treacherous and hazardous circumstances that will destroy us. That's the value of the Word. It helps us to walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. As Paul wrote to the in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 to admonish those Christians. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, for this reason we constantly thank God that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, he said, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God which also performs its work in you who believe. That's it, isn't it? That's the word of God to us. That's the value of it in our lives, the precious value. Some people wonder about the last line there, or let the ancient words impart. They're imparting something. They're giving us something. And the big question is, what do those ancient words impart to us? What do those words give us? And we've already suggested they give us a way to walk. They give us the way of salvation. They give us fellowship with the God of heaven. They give us the words that Christ sacrificed his life for, that we may have and benefit from. You know, we could probably form a pretty long list thinking about the blessings that are imparted by the Word of God. Can we have confidence that we possess the unadulterated Word of God today? Can we have confidence that what we have in our Bibles has not been corrupted by people? Yes, we can. In Psalm 119, verse 160, the sum of your word is truth, David wrote in that psalm. And every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Doesn't that really say something? Besides, you know, there were some really smart men who wrote these, but that's about the sum total of it. You know, I've read books that are written by very smart men, haven't you? And I've read some that were purported to be from very smart men that once I got to reading them, they didn't turn out to be too smart in my estimation. But those are the writings of men. And they contain flaws and mistakes and sometimes outright lies. Sometimes they're very difficult to understand. Sometimes they turn out to be quite useless. That is not the Holy Scriptures, is it? No way. So we can have confidence in them. How do we know that there haven't been a lot of changes to what we have in our Bibles today? Because the old texts, the surviving manuscripts, have been copied and recopied. We don't have the originals, but we have copies of copies by faithful men who did their very best at copying and checking, making sure they did not make any mistakes, and passing it on to other people. So we have that. The Bible illuminates the pathway to salvation, as we mentioned in Psalm 119:105. And certainly, God doesn't want anyone to perish. Peter wrote about that in 2 Peter 3:9. He's patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. In John 10:35, there is a unique expression used there that I appreciate just about as much as I do the text for the lesson, Matthew 24:35, where Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Then in John 10:35, there is a parenthetical expression there, "The scripture cannot be broken." Now my Lord said that. I'm inclined to believe it. I'm inclined to believe that whatever efforts man may make to destroy the Holy Scriptures, that he will not be successful. Because my Lord said, remember, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth said, "The scripture cannot be broken." So that gives me a lot of faith in the Holy Scriptures. And there are other passages that we could look at and think more about that, but you get the point that I'm trying to make right here. Those who help preserve God's Word sometimes paid with their very lives. Notice that in the second part of the second stanza, martyrs' blood stains each page. They have died for this faith. They're people that have given their lives for this faith. Hear them cry through the years, the song says. Heed these words and hold them dear. You know, if they were flippantly handled and nonchalantly addressed throughout the history of the last 2,000 years, we wouldn't appreciate them to the extent that we do now. If they were handled very messily, no one respected the scriptures, no one honored them, no one tried to make sure their faith was based upon those scriptures, it's just another book. Another book by a group of men. They would not be handled like this. But why? Why did people of faith give their very lives for these scriptures? We have to ask ourselves, why? A precious thing is a person's life. Why are you willing to sacrifice it to uphold the scriptures? The Bible refers to the blood of martyrs of Jesus in Revelation 17:6. When John writes and he says, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witness of Jesus, when I saw her, I wondered greatly. You know, there were saints that shed blood for their faith in Christ. Jesus was not the only one who died for his faith in God. Quite a number of Christians did in the early years, and probably there's still some in various places in the world that are giving their lives, even today, for the faith. They were willing to die for the faith, even though Jesus said it would happen. In Matthew 24 and verse 9, he told them ahead of time, they will deliver you to tribulation. They will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. That's advance warning, isn't it? And plenty of time for the chickens to head to the coop, right? But the courageous upholders of the Word of God embraced that and were willing to face whatever challenges came their way. So we should heed the words of those who have spoken the Word of God to us. Remember those who led you, Hebrews 13 and verse 7, who spoke the Word of God to you. And considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. That's how the Word of God can help us, and certainly it will bring a blessing to us in life. In the chorus, you'll notice, ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. God's Word is certainly designed to change us, isn't it? To make us more like God's Son. That's the ideal. That's the ideal for us to pursue. The pattern that we want in our lives. Because when God looks upon us and He sees the characteristics of His Son in our lives, He is pleased. And I am very happy as a result. Far too many are trying to change God's Word today rather than change the way they think or change their behavior. Someone wrote a book and they wrote this. It cannot be believed unless it rings true to our deepest capacity for truth and goodness. Our deepest capacity. If it contradicts this, it cannot be believed. If it falsifies this, it cannot be accepted. What he's saying is, I can figure out what's true and good, and I don't need the Scriptures. And if it contradicts what I think is good and what I think is true, then I don't have to believe it. This person goes on to make this statement. Whatever excuses we make for Paul, it seems to me most honest to say, yet perhaps Paul is condemning homosexuality. But the bottom line for you is, so what? Paul was wrong about a number of other things too. You and he stand on equal footing when it comes to what the Spirit has told you. What the Holy Spirit tells you is a greater authority for your life than what the Holy Spirit may or may not have told Paul. That's crazy talk for someone who loves Scripture. Matthew Vines, even in his book entitled God and the Gay Christian, expressed a very similar approach to the Scriptures. He wrote that one of the reasons for losing confidence in the belief that same-sex relationships are sinful, it no longer made sense to me. So, what he advocates is that if you read something in the Scripture that comes from the mind of God that you are encouraged to embrace to build up your faith and show you how to walk in this life, and it's something that unsettles you and you don't like it, just say that it doesn't make sense to you and go on and live the way that you want to live. In the book, What the Bible Really Says About Homosexuality, God says it's wrong. is not a good enough answer, some people say. Okay, what about anything else? Would you equally accept that murder? God says murder is wrong. Is that okay for everybody else? Is that a good enough answer? When he says, husband and wives live together faithfully, don't defraud one another, is that a good enough answer? And who decides good enough? It may be good, but not good enough. What level of goodness does it have to be before you'll embrace it? And the answer to that probably is based on what I want to do and what I don't want to do. If I want to do it, the level of goodness is high enough, I can accept it. But that's crazy. That makes every man a judge of God's law and every man a standard within himself. And that's not what Jesus said. What will we be judged by? Whatever you decide. The way you choose to live. Whatever you determine is good. That's not what Jesus said, is it? And we could talk about and give quotes that people talk about the role of women in the church, women elders, women preachers. We could talk about that. We could talk about how we worship, items of worship, what we allow to enter into the worship, what we discard because we don't like. We could talk about the plan of salvation and just make it our way. Make it really convenient for people to receive the forgiveness of their sins. But it wouldn't be true to God's book if we did that with those kind of motivations, would it? So, ancient words. We allow those ancient words to change us, to transform us. We don't try to change them. They're powerful. They're from God. Ancient words give us hope and help us cope. I think that's great. The second part of the first stanza, words of life, words of hope, give us strength and help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Boy, that's a wonderful sentiment, isn't it? What we can appreciate about God's Word. The words of the Holy Scripture are words of life. Acts 5 and verse 20. Go stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life, the apostles were told. That's a significant statement. As such, they help us cope by giving us the strength that we need. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 11, Paul wrote to them and said, for this reason I also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with power, all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously. That's a pretty strong statement too, isn't it? About the Scriptures and how we receive that knowledge and how beneficial that knowledge is for us. They'll guide us home by being a lamp for our feet and a light to our path, as we mentioned in Psalm 119, verse 105. John wrote in John 14, do not let your heart be troubled, Jesus said. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can we put any faith in that? Can we put any confidence in that? Can we trust that those words of Jesus were recorded accurately? Or were they just jumbled up writings of men in order to give us a false hope and make us look ridiculous in the eyes of so many people in the world? That's crazy, isn't it? Those are the words of Christ. Revelation 2, verse 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, You will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Crown of life is not something cheap, is it? It can cost a person their very lives, their very physical lives. It does cost our lives. We sacrifice our lives for Christ. When we put on Christ and are baptized into Him for the forgiveness of our sins, and we become children of God, as reflected in the lesson this morning. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. John 6, verse 68, Peter said, and I remind you, you know, if we won't go to the Lord for words of eternal life, where do we go? You know, that's an excellent question asked by Peter to the Lord. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. It took a great deal of faith on his part to declare those words at the time that he did. Don't you agree? The chorus reminds us of the importance of opening our heart to God's Word. Ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. There are many today who claim that these words of the Bible are old-fashioned. They're outdated. It's just the writing of men. It's not worth much. It causes people to have a blind faith. It causes people to follow God to the extent that others in society declare them mentally incapable. Yes. They say that something written 2,000 years ago or more don't really have any relevance to modern man today. They're not applicable to today's society. So today we need a new gospel for a new age. That's garbage, isn't it? Those who truly believe in God understand that the divine Creator was able, certainly, to reveal His will in such a way that men could understand it. What good would it do for a God of heaven to reveal His will to us in a language or in words or in some other way that we could never understand? Wouldn't benefit us a bit, would it? So we have to be able to understand what God says. He's revealed us to us His will in order that we can understand it. The divine Creator was able to reveal His will in this way. And even though it was penned, some of it, thousands of years ago, but the gospel was penned roughly almost 2,000 years ago, even though it was written that long ago, it still has powerful meaning and very powerful authority for all generations. It'll last until Christ comes again, whenever that is. It'll last until the judgment day. So we must recognize the need for us to pay attention, very close attention, to those ancient words. What a great song that is. I wish that it were in our songbooks and we sang it regularly. It's pretty high on my list of songs that I appreciate. If you're in our assembly tonight and you're not a Christian, we ask you to do nothing different than what's revealed in God's book, the Holy Scriptures. You must hear the Word of God, because if you hear it and you have an honest and good heart, what conclusion will you come to? You will come to the conclusion that you need to come to in order to have your sins forgiven. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you'll be so firmly convicted of that fact that you will be courageous enough to confess that statement before men without fear of what they might do to you in return. You'll repent of your sins. You'll confess Christ. You'll be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll strive to the very best of your ability to be faithful to Him in every respect. That's being a Christian and following those ancient words. If we can assist you in your obedience to the gospel tonight, we'll be happy to do so if you'll come to the front. Let me know about it while together we stand and encourage you by singing the invitation song. May God bless you.